What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast, our first recording in over a month and a half. Our last podcast dropped March 13th. It is now May 8th as of recording, and there hasn't much changed, if we're being honest, with the Blazers ever since our last podcast. I mean, it's obviously start of summer. We're officially back. We're going to start talking about the Blazers, I would say weekly, but it might be every 2 weeks. Of course, once we get into free agency and draft time, we'll be posting a lot more content and then heading into next season. It's just me and Wes today, no Cody. If you want to see Cody content, you can go watch our TikToks, rcr.trivia, link in the description. Also, you can go follow our Instagram, rcr.trivia, where we're posting NBA trivia every single day. Draft lottery Sunday, that's the only pressing thing to talk about. And a little report about Chauncey that came out today. Wes, how are you doing? Are you watching basketball? Have you been watching the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm watching basketball. It's good to be back here. It's been almost 2 months, but with the lottery coming out on Sunday, that kind of, I feel like, kicks off the what for content creators like us who are Blazer fans, our season is when they're not playing.
Literally, honestly, like, performance for the channel's better. The interest in the team is greater. Like,
I mean,
it's messed up.
I will say I'm not going to say I took all those playoff years for granted, but man, we were joking. Us three together, we haven't done a podcast with the team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely took it for granted.
I mean, Damian Lillard will do that to you. Yeah, I mean, do we just want to start with the lottery since that is the first thing that is going to appear on this journey in the offseason?
I mean, we can. I do want to, before I forget, I mean, I know we'll talk some NBA basketball, playoffs, everything going on just broadly, probably closer to the end, or just as we discuss things throughout. But we were major, major Bucks fans this playoffs. Like, I was rooting for them. I won't say I was as invested in them as I have been in the Blazers. Like, I wasn't as sad when they lost. But when I was watching the games, I was definitely getting as high and as low as I had been in 2021 when we were playing Jokic. So that was unfortunate to see them go down.
I will say, you were here, I think, for one of the games. Game four. And we both, on accident, were saying, like, the Blazers game when we were meeting the Bucks. So it's just funny that, like, just watching Dame on another team. Of course, the Bucks were not fully healthy. I do think, although Indiana matched up really well with Milwaukee throughout the year, like, I think it would have been a tough series regardless if Giannis was there or not.
But they won.
But with Giannis playing, I think the Bucks win that series.
And Dame fully healthy.
I mean, with the way, like, Indiana played New York in game one, of course you just do the what ifs. I really wanted to see Dame and Giannis go up against Boston. But man, you got to feel for Dame. Just unlucky in the playoffs, man. Still has not played a playoff series with a player better than CJ. Still has not done it. We could say Chris Middleton was better than CJ. We could.
Well, we Aldridge.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Wait, that confuses me because everyone's always like, Dame's never played a series with another All-Star. They must be talking about, like, since Dame. Like, there's never been two All-Stars on Dame's team because Dame wasn't an All-Star in that series. Maybe. So, like, it's not like Dame was playing with another. I mean, he was, but you know what I'm trying to say.
And we made jokes that the Bucks were basically just the Blazers in disguise. Obviously, Brooke is an upgrade from Nurk, and Chris Middleton is probably an upgrade from CJ, the way he played at least. But Cody was joking, Pat Connaughton is still Pat Connaughton at the end of the day. And it was just funny to see that for Dame. We can talk about, actually, since we're here, let's just talk about this right now. I saw some things like circulating. In fact, I saw it on, it was one of the mainstream podcasts. I forgot which one, but they were saying, if you're Miami, because they stink, do you literally call Milwaukee and offer the same package to them that you offered to us? Which was just really funny to me. Curious your thoughts on just Miami, Dame, the whole Dame trade. We can just talk about that now.
Well, you do see in our agenda, we're going to look back at some past moves and just kind of do a little update and check to see. Obviously, it's much different than it was when we made the move, but I have, did we like the Dame trade? And I have, Miami sucks ass. Like, Miami's in a tough spot. Miami's talking all this crap throughout the summer, all this just like
They still are.
The Dame package. The Dame package. The Dame package is playing so much better than Dame. And then we see Tyler Hero just... I know they didn't have Jimmy Butler, but let's be real. Jimmy Butler might be out of Miami now because, I mean, Jimmy had a great run. It was a great run for Miami last year, but I think his ego is absolutely through the roof right now where he thinks he's a top five player when he's just not. Obviously, Jovic stinks. Hawkes is great. I mean, Hawkes would be a guy I would love to have, but not for Damian Lillard.
I mean, look, I think...
I can't believe we're talking about this again.
Well, I think Jovic and Hawkes will be end up being good. The Tyler Hero thing was like the deal breaker. Like, bro, like he's literally just the same thing. Honestly, you could argue Simons versus Tyler Hero. We know what we're gonna say.
I mean, I think Hero is like he's
just
so
many
bad.
Tyler Heroes in the league, bro. There's so many of them.
Exactly, he's so bad defensively. He's no more than Jordan Clarkson. Like,
yeah, which is
he's a sixth man, which is valuable.
People are going to be like, that's disrespectful to, and what I say to those people, watch Utah then, because Jordan Clarkson was actually like pretty good.
Yeah, like he's,
I still will just talk Dame trade just because I feel like we haven't talked about it at all. In this
Dude, we're really talking about Dame trade, but I mean, it's on the agenda. Might as well get there. Yeah.
I looking back at the time of the trade, I think I gave it an A minus, maybe A. I thought the players we got, plus the draft picks was worth it because we only got ended up getting like three firsts and
I mean, I literally could be getting this wrong right now, but it's Holiday, Time Lord, Ayton. Then you have the Golden State pick that's 14 this year, the Milwaukee unprotected in 29, and then
a pick swap with another
pick swap and throw in maybe a second or two. I don't remember exactly.
We got, okay, so for Jrue Holiday, we got Brogdon, Time Lord, and I know for sure 2029 first.
No, I think that's where we got the Golden State first.
And the Golden State pick.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, because I actually just looked. So this is actually interesting. I just looked.
I promise, guys, we're going to talk about the actual Blazers. I promise.
This is just a list of the first rounders. And I'm not going to go through second rounders. But in 24, we have our own pick and the Golden State pick. In 25, we have in 25,
seconds.
We have our own first, but the whole thing, like the Bulls and thanks Neil Olshey, like maybe we don't, I don't, you know.
Once we make the playoffs, we will not have the pick if we make the playoffs.
Yes, you're right. So the Blazers will get their pick if it's 1 through 14. If it's 15 through 30, Chicago gets it. And if they don't get it, it will roll over basically.
It's like 2 seconds in 2028 or something.
We have our own first in 25, our own first in 26, our own first in 27, our own first in 28. And we also have the right to swap first in Milwaukee in 28. So we got a pick swap in 28. Then we got our own pick, Bucks pick, and the Celtics pick in 29. And then we got a pick swap in 30. So
2029 draft class, what grade is that?
I mean, I don't know. But when it's all said and done, Boston, we got DeAndre Ayton, a first from Milwaukee, two pick swaps from Milwaukee. And then we got Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, and the Warriors pick, and then a pick swap from Boston.
It's a lot.
Lillard. That's a lot.
And looking back, you can say, sure, I wish we got more at the time. You can argue if at the time that was the best offer. It was definitely one of the best. You could argue, who knows, there could have been an offer from the Jazz, but like we wanted to do right by Dame as well. But if you kept Dame another year and traded him this year, you're getting what? 50% of that? 60% of that? Like,
because
I don't even know if Jrue Holiday is getting traded for Dame.
Yeah, well, okay. So, yeah, I think looking back on the Dame trade, I'm going to say I am a fan of it only because I don't think we sold at the peak, but I think we sold at the top. Like, I don't think Dame is going to ever have a season that he had in 22 or 20, like those seasons. I mean, he deserved to go win a championship. We chose, that's a whole nother discussion. We've talked about that. Was it the right move to pursue a championship versus rebuilding? But we chose to rebuild. And thus I think the package we got was good. The only thing I'd say is just, I think certain players have underperformed, like Robert Williams. I think I was really excited about him, forgot about him throughout the season. I mean, he's injury prone. Brogdon is fine, but of course we wanted to, we'll talk about the summer and Brogdon possibly being not a casualty, but just the guy that you kind of got to pivot from. I think he served his purpose here as a mentor. Ayton looked fine. And you know, the picks are at the end of the year, but I made this comment, like, Milwaukee just crashing out of the playoffs like this, of course they're going to give it another, they're going to run it back probably go again in 26. But after 26, when Dame's contract is up, I mean, Dame's not going to be what he was. Giannis is going to keep putting pressure. It's impossible to project what these teams are going to look like at the end of the decade, but it's just good. Just nice to have. It's nice to have some additional capital that you can draft, or you can actually go for that trade when you need it in 28.
When it's definitely, yeah, I mean, gotta hope. We're going to leave the looking back on moves. We have more moves we want to look back on, but we're going to shift that to the end. We're kind of just going to go into the two relevant things right now about the Blazers. I mean, I didn't expect us to start this 10 minutes in, but it was great. That was a good conversation. I do love when we get on tangents because it's true. It's true. Draft lottery. I mean, there's not much we have to say about the draft lottery, but the draft lottery is this Sunday, 5:30 Pacific. We got the fourth best odds. We got the 14th best odds. So with that being said, I'm just going to quickly read over the odds for those that didn't see it on each pick for the Blazers. This is their true our pick we own. Odds that we get anything higher than 14 is very slim for the Warriors pick. I mean, I think it's either you get 12, 13, 14, or 1, or jump into the top 3 or something like that. You're not going to jump to like 5.
Man,
Cody is texting us right now, and he's just talking about Instagram Reels like we don't know it. Okay, that's for another day. First pick, 13%, we get that. Second pick, 12.8%. Third, 12.3. Fourth, 11.7. Fifth, 6.8. The most likely pick we get is the sixth pick at 24.6. Seventh, 16.4. Eighth at 2.2. So obviously we have the fourth best odds, but that probably means, that doesn't necessarily mean we'll get the fourth pick. So
yeah,
obviously you can say weak draft class all you want, but I think this is one of those draft classes where, no more than any other class, but basically it being a weak draft doesn't hurt us having a second lottery pick, obviously. But I mean, drafting at 14, I mean, obviously at 4, you're going to want to try to get the guy that's going to be your starting blank for the next 10 years. Like, not necessarily your star. I don't know how many stars there will be in this class. Of course, there will be a couple, I'm sure. But even at 14, if this was any given draft class, you're not saying I need to draft a star at 14. Obviously, there can be stars drafted then, but you're looking for a quality role player, a guy that can be your starter for the next 10 years, a guy that could be a quality trade piece. Like, a lot of things you go there, or you could go there. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm interested to see where we land. Obviously, Scoot's representing us. Last year was B. Roy. Last year, the lottery was hype, of course. Little did we know that getting the third pick would lead to the end of the Dame era. Probably would have been a little different celebration at that point. But what are you looking for Sunday night, if anything, other than just nuts on the floor, yeah, biting your nails?
Well, the funny thing is, if we had gotten the number one pick, Dame would have stayed, because Dame and Wendy would have been, my God, that would have been insane. I'm less concerned about where we land, because there's not that there's not the generational prospect in here. I want Sar. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think he's got the best upside, plus just I feel like he's safe because he's the 7-footer that can handle the ball, which you're gonna need as the NBA continues to evolve. If you don't have a playmaking big, you're kind of toast. But I'm just looking for positional fit. If we draft anyone under 6'6", I'm going to be really pissed.
If we get the fourth pick and the first three off the board is, say,
Sar,
Richard, the French guy that I can shoot, and then Ron Holland, you're saying, I don't care if the next four on the big board are guards. I want Bouzelis. I want, who's the other guy? Cody Williams. I want, there's a lot of different ways we could go. Obviously, you don't want the guard. Right now, if I did a tankathon, sim to the lottery, we're looking at second pick, Oh my gosh, the Spurs get the first pick again. Second pick, they have us taking Richard, the dude from France.
I think he's good. I think
they have Sar passing on Sar. They have Sar dropping at 3 there. And then at 14, they have us taking Filipowski, which would be catastrophic if we took Filipowski.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a scout. I'm definitely, from here until Sunday, I'm going to look a little. I'm going to wait until I see where we land, and then I'll look at what, like, our window for guys are here. But I think Sar is the best option. I think if you can just give Scoot, I think Scoot, Ant, and Shaden are definitely going to be that backcourt core, at least until the trade deadline. I mean, things change, obviously. Who knows what they're going to do? But to me, this team's investing in Scoot. Obviously, you kind of have to. So I would love to see a athletic big next to him. Not necessarily a 5, like that can be the DA show. Like a stretch 4. Like, I'm not saying we need to do what Minnesota's doing with Twin Towers, but like, when you think about it, like, that team fits seamlessly together. And I know they gave up literally the freaking lakefront mansion for Rudy Gobert. And at the time, like, bro. But like, you have Towns, you have 2 7-footers to throw at Jokic. I mean, I don't know. I just think emulating something where you have playmaking, shooting, and defensive versatility, but the dude's 7 feet tall. Like, that's the key. Like, Sar next to Ayton, all of a sudden, like, then you can go see what Jeremy can go see what you can get for Jeremy. I mean, it's probably not a ton, but Jeremy's a just an absolute perfect guy to have on a rebuilding team. Who just someone got to take shots,
eat up shots. Yeah, I'm gonna not bombard you with questions about, like, if we get these picks, what do we do? Because we're gonna have a month to do that. So lottery, of course, Sunday, big day. I will, of course, be watching. Moving on to the guy that calls the shots in terms of the basketball team, not who's on the team. Talking about who plays, Chauncey Billups. Reports coming out today that teams are monitoring the situation in Portland if they were to move on, because we obviously moved on from Scott Brooks, and Chauncey's brother, Rodney Billups, as assistant coaches there, are no longer with us, which I think is good. I mean, Scott Brooks, he was a nice guy to have on the bench, but I mean, for a rebuilding team, how valuable is it? Because I mean, it's not like Scott Brooks was an elite coach. He was a fine coach in the NBA. And then Rodney Billups, like, I don't know anything about him other than that he's Billups' brother. So I'm completely fine with moving on from him. I see a lot of people going two ways. I see people saying this is true. There's actually smoke in Portland and Chauncey could get fired. It's not like the report was the Blazers are thinking about moving on from him. It's teams are monitoring the situation. Weird. So people think it's coming from Billups' camp, like, because Billups said a lot of things at the end of season interviews, where he was like, you know, I just want to coach a playoff team. I mean, obviously you can say, well, coach the team and make them get them to the playoffs, but obviously team is not a playoff team. So just what is your whole take on this situation? I mean, I hate this question because it's like, is Chauncey a good coach? We don't know, really. Like, it's hard. It's such a hard conversation.
Yeah, to me, like, I think I've said this on a prior podcast, but as a coach, you're like, you're either the development coach, like, you're with that, like, that's your calling card, or you're like the X's and O's, like, I'm an in-game mastermind. And I think the best coaches are both, like Pop or Spo, like, they're both. But I think of, like, X and O, like, geniuses. I think of, like, Michael Malone in Denver. I think he's really good. I low-key think, like, Ty Lue. I think Ty Lue's a great coach from an X's and O standpoint. And I know, like, LeBron and him, like, he definitely, you know, LeBron's nice and everything to have as a player. But I think Chauncey has not had the opportunity, like you said, to show the in-game adjustments, X's and O. And when people say, oh, but his adjustments sucked in that game in December against Charlotte, like, come on.
Yeah, it's just so hard to know when the team has no expectations.
Exactly. Like, I'll put it like this. Like, one of my former coaches, like, led us to a state championship. And then 2 years later, the team had like two wins. It doesn't make him a worse coach. Like talent matters.
And like forever, I feel like there's probably people out there that are typing like, well, we can't close games with him. If this team won 34 games this year and had the ninth best odds in the lottery, we would be saying, what a pointless season. How dumb was that? Like, there's no winning if you're Chauncey Billups right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and defend him because I can't say he's a good coach. He hasn't proven he's good. He hasn't proven he's bad. Now, the problem is he's in year four of a five-year deal, and we still don't know that. Even if it's not his fault, it's like, how does this happen with the Blazers? Like,
yeah.
I think you have a whole new group out now. You brought Chauncey in for Dame, CJ. Dame wanted him. You brought him in with a CJ team, Nurk, Norman Powell still on that team, Robert Covington. This is coming off of the 2021 loss to Denver. I mean, I get Chauncey, like, loves Scoot, loves Ant, like, and all that, but I wouldn't mind bringing in a guy that's just like, this is this era's coach. Like, Chauncey was kind of mixed between eras. You could argue he's this era. I mean, he loves Ant. I think Chauncey has some value with developing. I mean, Ant wasn't this good until Chauncey. He didn't have his chance until Chauncey, but like,
what I'd say is I would, if you put a gun in my head and was like, you got to fire him or not, I would maybe like at the end of this year, I would move on. Only because to what you said, like, it's unfair to Chauncey, but he kind of served as this, like, the captain of this ship lost at sea post Dame before we're good again. Like, that, it's just a weird time for the franchise. Like, it's just, you're pivoting and you don't know where we're in the wilderness right now. Like, we're after Dame. We still haven't seen that, like, bona fide star we can build around that is the next Dame. Doesn't have to be a guard necessarily, but you know what I mean. So I think once you've established that, I think like, yes, Chauncey loves Ant, and I think he loves Scoot, and that's important, especially when you have guards that you want to develop. Why not bring in one of the best defensive guard, one of the better guards? I mean, he won a title in 04. He has a lot of knowledge to share, and I think it's made the guards better. But for like Ant or Scoot to like take that next step, I just don't think you can be like, I don't think you can have a coach that's buddy-buddy. Like, and I'm not saying, like, you have to have Tom Thibodeau, who's an absolute hardo. I'm not saying that. But I'm, like, you got to have, like the freaking OKC coach or Chris Finch. Like, dudes that we probably hadn't heard of before. But, like, yeah. Chris Finch is calling out Minnesota for being immature when Cat scores 60. Like, and I'm sure Chauncey would do that, too. But, like, you kind of got to need you need a head coach that's going to be, like, I'm here to win. Like, I just don't think – I think it's really hard for Chauncey to be bad for 4 years, not his fault, and then be like, all right, guys, now I'm going to need you guys to win it. Like, it's just – you can't do that. It's hard.
If I had to choose right now, would I rather keep Chauncey for the next 3 years or – because it's – if I asked the question to you, would you rather extend Chauncey's contract an extra year? He still has 2 years left and then one more. Would you take that or would you fire him right now?
I would let him play out the two more years. I just think when you're ready to actually start.
No, that's not the question. Would you let him finish out the 2 years or would you fire him right now? Oh, you just said that.
Finish out the 2 years.
Oh, I just.
Only because I think for Scoots and this class, I think for Scoot and Shaden, Scoot is still 19. Like, I just don't think you can put him through the head coach carousel. That's not good for him. And we're not going to win the next 2 years. Anyway, so I think when Scoot makes that leap and this team's like, okay, we're ready to contend for a play-in spot. We're ready to contend for the playoffs. I think that's when you get a serious coach. Not that Chauncey's not, but a coach that like
has that's the thing with that, though, is the way I'm not saying I don't know who the better option is. So I'm in a hypothetical world that there is a better option out there. I mean, ideally you fire Chauncey. You don't hire a coach just based on name value. I think that's kind of what we did with Chauncey. You hire one like Mark Dagnalt or Chris Finch, like a guy I've never heard of that's been through the ringer of assistant coaching, and now Will Hardy, one of those guys. And like, you go ahead and do that right now. I don't want to do even though it worked with the Warriors, I'm not comparing us to the Warriors here, but like, I don't want to do the thing where like, we just keep the coach around, we make the playoffs, and then we fire the coach, and then we hope that next coach like takes us to the next level. I just don't think that's realistic. I think like if you think Chauncey's the guy, then he's the guy and he's going to be our coach. I hope he's the next coach for 5-10 years. Like, but I want it like if you're an organization, you need to know if he's the guy 3 years in. You're the organization. You put him in this situation. Like, I swear, if Joe Cronin has another press conference, I don't know when his next one is, but if he's asked about Chauncey and it's like, so what do you think about Chauncey? And he goes, you know, we like what we have. We want to see him with a successful team. Like,
but when you're in a rebuild, you like have to, you can't, you have to slow play it. Like, I don't think you can make, as a small market, you can't make this rash call of like, well, now we just need to like, why not let him just finish out his contracts? It's not going to change anything of what this team is going to do or not. I don't think. Because I don't think – we said talent matters. And the talent this upcoming year or the next year is probably not going to be good enough to contend.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that like Chris Finch would bring instead of Chauncey is just like – I mean, I don't really know.
See, that's where that's I'm like, I don't know. This is truly a conversation that's just speculation from us. Like, I'm just saying – I don't want you to wait to say like, we're gonna get our good guy in 2 years. I want you to like get him now and like, this is your guy for this era of Blazer basketball. Chauncey could be that guy. That's if Joe Cronin thinks he's that guy. Like, I can't do anything about that.
I think
I don't want limbo. I don't want like, is he the guy? Like, well,
commit to him. This whole Chauncey era has been limbo. I mean, like,
exactly.
I just think for Scoots and Shaden's development, you like, why would you just like, I'm just afraid we go on this coaching carousel.
That's fair.
So I would keep Chauncey because I mean, if you think he's a good coach, then you should keep him. And if exactly. you think he's a bad coach, then you should keep him because we need to lose games. I mean, like, what are we doing?
Just the final thing I'll say, it's kind of what I've been saying, but the one thing I don't want to do is say like, this is a prove it year for Chauncey because like that's putting him in an impossible situation because like you said, this team is not going to be a successful team no matter who the coach is. You could have prime Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich was the worst team in the West this year. Like a good coach isn't going to just suddenly make a horrible roster good.
I agree.
That's it on Chauncey.
Yeah. And like, I mean, look, if they move on from him, and bring in I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm just saying, I just don't think there's a ton of benefit to doing it, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Moving on.
Summer moves. This is something we will talk about for the next 2 months. This is not a pressing topic right now, but I just want, I'm going to name some guys and I want you to say, do you think / want them to be on the team next year?
Okay.
Time Lord. Robert Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Brogdon. Do I explain or no?
Yeah. You, I mean, if you have a reason behind it, if you have a reason why like trade value, you don't think he's good or you think he fits well.
The only reason why I'd say keep Time Lord is because I do think he's, his position and his, like his skill set is just not, it's pretty rare in the NBA. Just like, elite defense, elite rim protection, elite shot blocking, all that. Elite finisher around the rim because he can go up and get anything within the zip code. But I would keep him for the sense of, at the very worst, like give him some extended run at the beginning of next year and then maybe flip him at the deadline for a first or something.
Okay. That's what I would like that. I think he's one of those guys where you start with him on the team, you let him show what he can do, pray to God that he stays healthy until the trade deadline, and then you try to get some serious value for him. I don't think it's someone you should keep the entire year because unfortunately he's going to get injured. Like,
yeah,
history says he's going to get injured at some point. Yeah. Brogdon, Malcolm.
Sell.
Summer, like get, you don't want him on the opening
if
day
he is
roster?
On the training camp roster, I'm going to need explanations.
I would tend to agree with that. The final guy I have, because I'm not going to say like Delano Banton, because who really cares? Jeremy. Is he in the middle of those two?
For Jeremy, I think this is going to sound lame, but I think it depends on who we draft and where. Like, if we draft Sar, the French guy, which again, I'm only saying the French guy because I don't know how to pronounce his name. I would give them runway from day one, which people might disagree with, but I would let's make some moves in bunches here. Let's get something for Brogdon. Let's draft our starting four. And while we're doing that, let's go get assets for Jeremy that can maybe lead to a starting three or a sixth man. There's more to just like, okay, we're going to draft and make one move, and then we're going to wait till the summer, and we're going to trade for Delano Banton for a second round pick and cash considerations.
You don't want to try to speed run a rebuild because that doesn't work, but you want to have a little bit of like controlled urgency.
And the only reason why teams, not the only reason, but a big reason why teams like OKC are in literally position A right now as the one seed with all those draft picks is because they traded Russ and PG. They had PG. Didn't PG sign with OKC as a free agent?
He got traded, but then he did re-sign.
But they got Paul George. I would just guarantee without even looking it up, they got more for Paul George than what they gave up for him when they got him.
Absolutely.
You need like Phoenix now. Phoenix is gonna. I know they gave up a ton for KD, but they now have Beal's value is toast. Nurk's is toast, but Booker could just now they can just trade Booker if they wanted to and build around KD plus better. I don't know. The Blazers are in this weird spot where Jeremy and Ant would be their best players, but you're not going to get something crazy for that. So you got to kind of strike when the time is right, I feel like.
Yeah. And then my final question revolving about just the summer is who are the surefire locks for the starting lineup next year? We'll say plus man 6-7. If you want to say this guy's for sure going to be coming off our bench, you can say that.
Okay. Two locks in the starting lineup next year are going to be Shaden and DeAndre Ayton. Wow. Those are locks. Off the bench is, I can guarantee you Chris Murray is going to come off the bench. I could guarantee you our first round draft pick is going to come off the bench, unless it's Sar or Rupert is going to come off the bench. Time Lord's going to come off the bench. I have an interesting question for you. I'm not going to say Jeremy just because who knows. I have an interesting question for you. Would you trade Simons this summer if it was right?
Okay, I was about to say, where's Simons? I really would not want to. I think still Simons has a ton to give. I think he can be.
But that's the thing.
Here's the problem.
No, go ahead. Give for what purpose?
That's that. And unfortunately, we literally at the start of the show, we were like, Tyler Hero's value. Tyler Hero sucks. And we were like, Anthony's better. But they're the same type of player, theoretically. I think Ant will be a better player. I think he has more potential. The front office kind of put us in this situation with the whole three guard thing. And yeah, okay. To answer your question, yes. If I have to, if I get a great offer, if I just want to give Scoot a wide open lane to be if you're going to go all in on Scoot, I think, by the way, Scoot's a lock for the starting lineup. If Scoot is not starting next year, I think that's a problem.
So here's my question. And I could be off base here. Again, the market is, who knows. But if Orlando came calling for Simons, because my goodness, do they need some shooting.
Wow. Or Simons next to Suggs would be nice.
With Paolo. And would you rather go because again, whose value is not good right now? And you might not even like him, but Franz. I think Franz is in range there.
Yeah, I don't even know if they would move on from Franz for Simons just based on positional value.
So would you give up Simons for Wendell Carter Jr. and picks?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're trading Simons, you're getting maybe you get, I don't, what are they, Caleb Houston and John Isaac or something. I think you try to get one of their young players, not even a valuable young player, but a guy that's a guy that's a wing that fits positionally. And then you get their first this year. And I don't think Simons is getting any more than
he's definitely getting a first.
He's getting a first, but I was about to say, Andy, another first.
First,
no.
first, if you got Jonathan Isaac in a first for Simons, I think you like Joe, like you don't even let him finish. You say yes.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely think that's something you have to consider. I would hate it. I mean,
again, yes.
But like, I at this time, like, I'm not emotionally attached to a single person on this Blazer team right now. Like, no. If we traded Scoot, I wouldn't cry about it. Now, I don't want to, but
if your starting lineup, just theoretically, because, you know, I saw in your notes project starting lineup. I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying theoretically, Scoot, Shaden, Isaac, Sar, and Ayton. The spacing is buns, but like that is athletes all over the place.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's almost like the Minnesota route minus like having the greatest, possibly the greatest big shooter of all time, but like just length.
And like the next face of the league.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. But I think that's what Portland's always said though in this whole rebuild. They're just like, we want to go strong, fast, and athletic. Long and athletic. Like
have length.
Let's do it.
But like Jonathan Isaac is that guy, and I'm sure like the Magic would hardball it because he's actually like a defensive unicorn.
Yeah.
But I mean his offense and his shot is like so poor right now that like it's a puncher's chance to get him. The other thing that this is random.
I like that by the way. Working with Orlando. That's interesting.
Only because like what like they're gonna have to improve the roster. Because now, like, you have the momentum. You just literally went 7 in a game that if you were playing game 7 at home, Orlando probably would have won. That was just a home team wins type series. It's so painfully obvious you need offense. And, like, of course, I've heard many different people to Orlando. I've heard
like Clay,
Paul George. But, like, why not get, like, a guy with, like, actual gravity? Like, I get, like, Paul George has gravity. Paul George does it on both ends, but like, I don't think it hurts to just have like a microwave. Like you have literally plus defenders at every other spot.
Yeah, they don't have the guy that's like can take you. I mean, they have Paolo can take you one on one theoretically, but like I'm talking like from the guard level. Like Paolo's not going to pull up and shoot a three. Like yeah, it was a tough watch.
Do you know how like if I'm Orlando, I'm like, if we can just extend the court by like if we can extend our offense to 5 feet beyond the line, like Simons is like on one hand, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's somewhere in there for best shooters in the NBA. I mean, he is.
I mean, I think I would agree. I think.
And I just for my own sake, I need to see some Scoot Shaden backcourt minutes.
Oh gosh, Shaden I hope Shaden's not one of those guys that's always hurt.
Shaden's the X factor.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a guy we don't even talk about that much just because, like, we don't know.
Can this dude put 82 games on record for a season, please?
Yeah. We'll have a lot of time to talk about just
things
for the summer.
I think, like, for me, what I want to see from this team is I just want to see the picture get clearer. I just want to see, like, we've picked a direction. And we have our goals of getting more athletic and longer, yada, yada, GM speak, right? I just want to see, like, Joe Cronin be, like, put his freaking balls on the table and be like, oh, you're offering me Jonathan Isaac going to first? Take Simons. We're running this backcourt because this is who I drafted the past 2 years. And these are the two guys that I chose over giving Damian Lillard any ounce of help.
Like, exactly, like. Yeah, put your balls on the table and like have some
balls.
Have some freaking just like back your picks. Like say no, I drafted Scoot because I think Scoot's going to be a top 3-point guard. I drafted Shaden because he's one of the most athletic players in the league and he's going to be a multi-time All-Star. Like show some belief in these guys. Like
I think Shaden Sharp. Okay, be careful when I say this because absolutely do not believe he's anywhere near this guy or probably won't be, but like
Shaden Sharp could be Anthony Edwards.
That type of mold. Hyper athlete.
Yeah.
That can score the ball. Like, and Shaden Sharp has literally universes to go because Anthony Edwards is like.
Might win the championship this year.
Jumping rungs by the day, right? Like right now. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just want to see Joe Cronin, like I said, put his balls on the table. And of course, on the flip side, there's a part of me that's like, don't be reckless. That's why GM's job is so hard because it's got to be the perfect. We have to win the trade. We have to win the trade. Everyone has to win the trade. Like, that's why trades are so hard to make. It's like, are we winning this trade right now?
Like, oh my gosh, I'm just thinking back to just Cody's text, just talking about how we never have talked about the playoffs. Like, what? Gosh, this is all we talk about.
Speaking of, did we win the trade? Should we go through some more pass moves?
Sure. I put two down because these are two deadlines ago and one from – no. Both from
– two
deadlines ago.
So glad you put this one on there because I was going to bring them up.
Yeah, but we'll start – let's just start with the obvious one, the Hart for Reddish and a first-round pick that ended up as Chris Murray. Obviously, it's a guy you would love to have on your team. I swear they say it on the broadcast all the time because it's so true. Like, gosh, Josh is so fun to watch, but like – everyone's saying he wasn't going to stay in Portland if you were going to go this direction. He's not valuable. So, like, sure. But, man, like, that's not a good return whatsoever for a guy like Josh. Yeah,
I would say for the situation of him not – like, him being a free – and expiring, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to re-sign him if you trade for him. Like, I do think that hurt us in terms of the leverage we have. I'm glad we got a first for him. I know, like, he would for sure get a first now. But also, by the way, maybe I go the Pat Bev route here. I mean, if I played 48 minutes too, I could get 12 rebounds in game.
Yeah, yeah. But he's not even a stat guy. Like, you could just see his impact on the court. The thing for me is, like, it's unfortunate that we worked with New York, because I know New York was probably like, well, we can't give you up too, can't give up too much because, like, what if he doesn't re-sign with us? When in reality, like, they knew no matter if he was re-signing because he's got his Villanova boys.
And it's New York.
And this would be a totally different conversation if we didn't draft Chris Murray or if Chris Murray showed a little more. But, like, I don't see any potential to be anything but a bench role player in Chris Murray.
So that's the piece. Like, I think we can't – jury's still out on Chris Murray, obviously, but like, I think Chris Murray's like, I don't want to say his ceiling, but like his role is gonna be like a 3-and-D guy off the bench.
He doesn't do it for me.
I know, but like, it's been 1 year.
He had
some nice moments.
I'm looking at like guys behind him. Like, not even many people really showed much this year behind him. I mean, I guess Ben Shepherd, who like apparently can't miss a three now with the Pacers. He was a couple picks after, but other than that, I mean, you could have gone for like the crazy Gigi Jackson pick. Yeah, I know, but
I don't know. I think Chris Murray is. I think at the end of the day. Sure, do you want to get more for Hart? Yeah, but like, Joe Cronin got what we wanted him to get. Like, you can't really, you got to look at it at the time it happened. Like, duh, if Josh Hart was doing what he did now for us, of course we wish we had more. But like, you can't project that. And also, like, I think New York is literally the perfect situation for him, for Josh.
No, Hart. I agree. I think...
like, are you looking for two firsts for Josh Hart?
No. I'm looking for, I wish we... Again, it's early, so like, I know this is, you can't necessarily say that, but like, we were so stupid to say like, oh, Cam Reddish, that's interesting to get back. Like, even at the time, sure, we were like, oh, Cam Reddish has potential. He's a fun player to watch. He was so shitty at Duke.
You gotta gas up your boys.
Like, we're talking about, oh, he was nice at Duke when he wasn't even that nice at Duke. Like, and then just... I don't see any potential in Chris Murray. Like, I think he could easily be one of these guys that's off the team, and he could be a CJ Ellaby like type guy. Like, I just, even in the minutes like he played at the end of the year, he just didn't show me anything. But I can't say that it's for sure he's not going to be good.
No, but I think Chris Murray is eventually going to be Chris Murray for whatever reason is going to be the player that is going to be like the deal breaker in a trade that we do. It's like they want Chris Murray like for some reason, and we don't want to give him up because he's like, but he's gonna be like one of those guys, and then we're gonna look back and be like, well, you know, Jeremy and Chris Murray got us this. We can thank Josh Hart for that. Like, these the goalposts are always moving for these trades. So, but I will tell you, as we move on, one that is absolutely inexcusable now that I've seen him play in the playoffs is Nickeil Alexander-Walker for Joe Ingles and a second. I mean, oh my gosh, that is four. And he's looking, that's a 3-and-D player.
Dude,
oh my
he gosh. Is so, like, wow. Clamping. He's so, and he's so much bigger than I thought he was, like, or longer, taller.
Pause.
He's Jaden McDaniels. Jeez. He's Jaden McDaniels light. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Joe Ingles got some minutes in Orlando in game 7.
And Joe Ingles literally got traded to Portland to use our training staff. Never played a lick. And then I don't know. Let me look, see if that second's been used yet. I'm sure it's not relevant at all, though. Yeah. Well, but you can rap that? About that if you want to.
Huh?
You can just rap about that if you want to. I'll pull it up. I got it right now. 2027 second round pick, I think.
Okay, so how did we get Nikhil Alexander-Walker in the first place?
Oh, wow, yeah, I don't even know. I'm going to have to go down.
Let's see. He came from Utah, maybe? Maybe in the...
I don't know.
No, maybe it was the CJ trade. Was he...
I want to say I think he was included in that trade. I mean, again, all these are like hindsight's 2020. We didn't know Nikhil was this good, but like that's also why you have a front office that can see these things. Like the Timberwolves saw something. Like you can't say like, oh, he fits so well there. It's so much better. Like sure, he fits, but gosh, I'm pausing my ass off right now with Nikhil. But yeah, like you should have seen he's this good. You should know like he's gonna be good in this situation. Okay, can I like see how he got where? Okay, transactions. No, he was – okay, yeah, he was part of the CJ trade. CJ, Larry Nance, Tony Snell for Josh Hart, Thomas Satoransky, a 2027 second-round pick, Didi Luzada, and a 2022 first-round pick. And then he got traded for Joe Ingles. Oh, no, wait. The second was a 2022 second. So who did we – ooh, wait. Did we get Jabari Walker out of this deal? We're doing deep research right now.
Wait, so Nikhil Alexander-Walker was in that trade? I didn't hear you say his name.
Oh, yeah, he was in the CJ trade.
Okay.
Wow, we got Jabari Walker out of it, though. That's not terrible. Obviously, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is better than Jabari Walker.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
He probably is, but, like, again, like, you put Jabari Walker in his spot. Like, I mean, I'm sure Jabari Walker's balling.
Yeah, I'm sure, but it's unfortunate. I mean, it's a guy you would love to have, but all these things, though, but, like, if Nikhil Alexander-Walker was on the Blazers right now, I know it's, like, you should be able to get that out of him, but, like, he could be putting these defensive shifts in as much as he wants. No one would give a crap about it because yeah, he's on a 20. You add one more win. Like, it's unfortunate, like, we can have all this talent and all these guys we traded away, but, like, the only reason we're talking about them this much is because they're on the bigger stage. Now, what you could argue is you have Nikhil Alexander-Walker when you still have Damian Lillard. You got him in the CJ deal. Like, figure out how he can be good. Figure out, like, he's exactly the type of guy we needed around Damian Lillard, a 3-and-D long defender. Like, Josh Hart's exactly the guy we wanted to have around Damian Lillard. If these guys are playing up to their level that they're playing right now with the Blazers, say we have Damian Lillard last year, say we trade for, again, Mikal Bridges, like we can still do the Ayton trade because didn't have to do with the Ayton trade in reality. It was Nurk and Nas for Ayton, like nothing else in that.
Grayson Allen, I think, was a big part of that, though.
But he didn't have to do with Portland. Like, it really wasn't that big of a... Like, we basically could have gotten 8-2. So we could have gone into next season with freaking... Again, we're doing this hypothetical again, but we could have had Dame, Josh Hart, Ayton, Mikhail, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. That's not winning a championship, probably, but, like... we're never going to win a championship. Like, let's be real, guys.
The big discussion was what's a better chance to win a championship. And quite frankly, neither are good chances because it's so hard to do it.
Yeah.
You need a generational guy, like, low-key.
Yeah.
Which Dame was, but he's definitely hiking down the mountain now.
Yeah.
So you got anything else? I don't know how long we've been going here.
We've been going for 50 minutes. It's pretty good for a Blazer podcast. I have not much to talk about. I put on Instagram just an hour ago, dropped some questions for the pod, and I think we covered everything that's major. They said Nico, some guy named Nico, I can't pronounce his last name, said potential coaching replacements if Chauncey leaves. I mean, we talked about if Chauncey is gone, but we're not going to talk coaching replacements. We kind of did, though. We would want a guy that's not name brand. Talks Basketball said Ibubaji stay. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, what are your thoughts on, like, Duop and...
I just don't. I'm going to wait.
You don't care. You know, Cole, I am right there with
quite
you.
Frankly, don't care. Some guy said, should the Blazers move on from Ant? That's from IGM.N. We said that. Andrew Weltnitz said, is Ant extendable? Maybe he meant to say expendable. And then he said, missed you guys. So thanks.
Miss you too, man.
But I think we're going to close it. Do you want to talk anything with the playoffs right now? Or...
I think I would just say that it's – I think it's going to be I think Boston just – okay. Boston's going to come out of the East, but Boston, New York would feed families, bro. You're just going between TD and MSG.
Yeah, that would be pretty sick. And that's only like a train ride. I think OKC – I think OKC is really good.
I think it's going to be New York versus Boston, Minnesota versus OKC. So hard to not be prisoner of the moment with Minnesota right now. But I'm going to say it's Minnesota, Boston, and Boston wins the title.
I really think Minnesota could win it all. Like, I mean, I think we don't realize that, like, this doesn't happen a lot, but at the same time, like, it does happen. Like, a guy just makes a jump and wins the championship. Like, I mean,
well, who's the last guy to do that?
I think it's Wade. Like, on this level, like, this young. In 2006. Like, third year, just won the championship, wasn't expecting it.
Like, was Kawhi young enough in, like, 14?
But, like, it wasn't Kawhi's team. It was, it was, like, Tony Parker, and still you got Tim Duncan. I mean, you could argue it was the Warriors were kind of like that, like, just jumped on the scene. But I think it's Boston's year. Like, I think Boston's going – if I had to rank my top three, it's Boston – probably Minnesota than Denver. Like, I think Denver could ease.
I think OKC is still so underrated.
Oh, I love OKC. I do like watching them. I mean, sure, you cannot like the Shea. Like, Shea gets a lot of calls. But I like their vibe. I like Jalen Williams a lot.
Also, in
Shea's got Aura.
Game one last night, like, Luka looked just.
They got defenders, man. They got guys that can guard. I won't say guard Ant because Ant's a different player than Luka in terms of like his play style. So it's a little easier to, I don't want to say it's easier to slow down Luka, but like Ant's obviously more athletic. He can beat you in different ways. Luka can do that too, but
I see what you're trying to say. Like, it's just easier to stay.
Just because you can stop Luka doesn't mean you can stop Ant and vice versa is basically what I'm saying. But I was going to say something about, I saw that was funny on TikTok. About Shea. Oh, yeah. It was like Shea talking post-game about because the MVP is getting announced today. And they were like, are you going to watch? And he was like, oh, I didn't realize it was tomorrow because he knows he's not going to win. But all the top comments are like, oh, now I know why my fingers were tingling. I could sense his aura 17 scrolls ago. It's so funny.
That's insane. Yikes.
Yeah, but arguably bad matchup for OKC, either Denver or...
I mean, yeah, but like... Yeah, I mean, they do not have the size to play. I just think, like, Minnesota is just, like, that fit and that vision is, like, it was so awkward at first. But, like, they have – and I also just think, like, Minnesota – and I've heard this from people, but, like, Minnesota has, like – they built their team to beat Denver.
Like, that's fair. I mean, yeah, same guy built both teams.
Because, like
– so sick.
Yeah, like, you look at – freaking look at Gobert. Of course, like first thing you're like, oh, Gobert's gonna guard Jokic and slow him down, but you put him on Gordon and now you're literally the baseline is non-existent now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're gonna Beautiful. Make Jokic score 45 on Towns, who's literally the same height and can just, I know Towns is literally the cheap foul a cheap foul connoisseur. But like,
yeah, he's actually
and then
the
also
worst.
Just Edwards being this guy now, like there's not a single guy on Denver that can guard him.
Yeah, because like I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast and like he was saying the reason he hated the Gobert trade was like, why would you trade for Gobert when you know that Ant's not going to be this guy for another 4 years? Like, Gobert's going to not be as valuable as he is. Like, you're not going to be able to win a championship because you don't have that guy. But like, the fact that Ant is that guy already is like, only the Timberwolves could have predicted that. Like, you can say Ant was going to be this guy when he was 26, but at 22 is just crazy.
Dude,
like, he's literally like, everyone's saying like, this is on a, we're going down such a hypothetical, and if they do end up winning the championship, like if they win the championship, he's going to go to Team USA, and like, is he now the best player? Like, is he better than, like, if he wins the championship, is he better than Curry? Is he going to be that guy? Like,
he's probably going to be like, he's going to be the next like American face.
Yeah, he's going to be the face of the NBA. He like, and then everyone's like, there's so many parallels with him and Jordan. It's really scary. Like, he's not going to be Jordan, but like, if he wins a championship at 22, then like, I'm kind of like regurgitating what Bill Simmons said, but it was like so facts. Like, it was supposed to be Magic and Bird's team for the dream team. It's supposed to be LeBron and KD and Curry, and then MJ wins the championship in 91 and 92, and then boom, he's the face of the team, and now he's that guy.
I just think there's a boogeyman out in Boston.
Exactly. I think Boston, like, if Boston doesn't win this year, there's going to be so fires in the streets.
But you look at a hypothetical matchup, like, again, if Ant's going to play like this, who is going to, like, okay, I just think Boston, like, you got Jrue Holiday you can throw on him. You got length, Tatum and Brown you can throw on him.
And you got Derek White.
You got Derek White. Like, you have guys. And then, like, but then on the flip side, like,
you got guys to guard Tatum and Brown.
And then I think it's going to come down to, like, does Towns or Porzingis play better? Like, that's what it comes down to. And I know
now that I think about it, like,
who guards Porzingis?
Who guards Porzingis, and then who does the other guy that's not guarding Porzingis guard?
Like, I think, because, like, that's a series where Gobert can get put. Like, the reason why Gobert is so good in this Denver series, because Aaron Gordon can't shoot a three-pointer.
That I think about it, I like Boston a lot if they play Minnesota, because all five of Boston, even if you bring in Horford as the sixth guy, they all can shoot the three. And then you can, like, we've yet to see Gobert have to be drawn out. He was just guarding Nurkic last series, and he's guarding Gordon this series. Like, maybe he has trouble against Chet next series, but they're probably just going to stick him on, like, Dort or Giddey. Like,
yeah,
there's no guy you can do that with Boston. So I think Boston.
I just think Denver is in such trouble because, like, the thing that unlocks them is, like, it's so hard to guard Murray, Jokic, like, pick and roll, especially mm-hmm. when they do it. And they redo it like four times, and it's dribble handoffs at the free throw line. It's so stupid. But then, like, if you defend it well, the biggest step up, lob to Aaron Gordon. But now you have Gobert coming over and help. Like, and it's like, as good as Jokic is, like, Aaron Gordon is not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to throw a lob over Gobert if he's in the right spot.
Mm-hmm. We saw that in game one.
Literally saw it. Like, Aaron Gordon was. We took his under rebounds because, I mean. How is he going to get boards?
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. I think OKC and Minnesota just during the regular season both felt like teams that were like 1 or 2 years away, and Denver was the boogeyman, and then Minnesota is just breaking Denver.
Yeah. And
it's like,
I would say, like, it's a 2-0 lead. We've seen 2-0 leads get blown, but not when the home team loses the first two. I think it's only happened like 5 or 6 times.
We thought the Blazers would come back against the Pelicans in 18.
Yeah, and they got swept. So
I don't think Denver has answers. Also, like, the Jamal Murray thing is just like, Jamal Murray was being a baby in game two, bro. A baby. It was actually wild.
Here's the thing. The NBA, like, is reffing so much differently than they did last year, even than they did before the All-Star break. Like, remember that time when Alexander Walker and McDaniels were just hounding Murray up the court?
Wasn't a
like,
foul.
But that is a foul earlier this year.
You're right, it gets called, but when you actually like watched it in slow motion, like Murray's just grabbing McDaniels trying to.
No, yeah, I mean, but like that's the thing. Like it's a. That's why I think Minnesota is so good right now, is because like they can play physically. Like the NBA, they're letting them play. I like it more. I like it a lot more than I would rather. That's why I love playoff basketball more so than just like. Obviously, stakes are higher, but like I love a 96-93 game. Like, yeah, it's so like, fun.
I mean, if I'm ever a coach in basketball or like trying to teach a team to play defense, like I'm pulling that game two up, that first half game. I mean, they had them, as Kevin Harlan said, they had them in a straitjacket.
Literally.
It was bad. So Jamal Murray was like clapping when they finally like got a huge, like it was wild to see NBA players like that who are
they were literally falling apart in front of our eyes.
Like Jamal Murray just folded because someone got physical with him.
Yeah,
like sorry buddy, you're not going against Austin Reeves and D'Lo anymore.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all we got. Every time I watch a game on TNT, I miss when the Blazers were on TNT. It sure would be fun if they were there. Of course, like we said, this is why we did lotteries on Sunday. So make sure to tune into that and then tune in next week as we give our thoughts on it, talk about who we could get, talk about what we could do, because the summer will get a lot more clear in a couple days. If you're still here, thank you for watching. Make sure to subscribe and also follow us on our trivia channels, rcr.trivia, and we will see you next time. Peace.